Talk Show is brought to you by Carpet Mart, Janesville owned and operated on Milton Avenue across from the post office. Quality flooring backed by service you can stand on. Your community, your opinions, your forum. This is your talk show on WCLO. Opinions expressed on your talk show are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WCLO or big radio staff, management, or sponsors. The open phone and text line number is 608-752-4000. Now, here's the host of your talk show, Tim Bremmel.
Welcome back to the program. It is her first official appearance as our 44th Assembly District Representative, I believe, on the Minuteman Press guest line. We have joining us Representative Ann Rowe. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Tim. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. The life of a representative for the first time is always a little different. How are you faring?
It is a little different. I have to tell you that for sure. No joking aside, I get such a thrill getting to walk into our state capitol nearly every day of the week. It is a magnificent building, and it just renews my sense of gratitude to get to work in this building and with all these people. Just a great privilege.
It's an interesting building for people who haven't been in the Capitol, other than maybe to go to the Rotunda or something. A lot of the broadcasters were up there last week, and we go into the offices and the layout is I'd say slightly confusing, but it is laid out so that, you know, the legislators that have offices there have a very workable space, and most of you have windows.
The good news is at least most of the floors go around in a circle. So much like the beloved rotaries, if you miss your turn, you can just, you know, keep going. You'll hit it eventually.
Except as I found out for the fourth floor, which does not do that.
Exactly. The fourth floor is the one that gets you. But I'm very excited because of the way they drew numbers and names and worked that process out. I got Sue Conley's office.
Oh.
My predecessor's office. So it is delightful. There are windows, and we have a phenomenal original map from 1876 that Tim Cullen passed to Deb Colsey, who passed to Sue, who is now passed to me. And it's the original layout of Rock County and this district area back to 1876.
Wow. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, impressive. Now that you're there and things are heating up a little bit, I know you are watching and learning, and there's a big learning curve perhaps as to how this all plays out. But I noted that a couple of your colleagues are already hard at work. The Wisconsin Democrats put together a couple of bills that would, one, expand the homestead tax credit, two, provide free breakfast and lunch for all Wisconsin public school kids, and three, attempt to lower prescription drug prices, which all sound like good things. Let's just kind of tackle them in order a little bit from what you know. What I like about talking to people, Ann, like yourself, that are first-timers up in the legislature, is you're not that far removed from us. So as you learn about stuff, we learn about stuff, and it doesn't feel so far removed from the process, I think. So what?
Well, and that's my goal to maintain that, because I'll tell you, it's great to be here, but where the inspiration comes, where the help comes and the insights come is straight from the district. So, it's important to keep it real and keep close, because this is definitely a team activity, team project, as far as I'm concerned. So, that three-piece package of legislation that we, as a party, signed on to and sponsored last week is huge. If anyone, I'll take the food piece of that puzzle. If anyone has ever tried to do math of any sort on an empty stomach, it's no laughing matter. I mean, it really is tough. And making sure that all of our students are ready to learn and in a place where they can count on that sort of support and that kind of prep. Think of how much easier that classroom atmosphere is, and think how much faster they learn. I've had the privilege of volunteering in second grade math classes. I like to think I'm a little further than second grade, but, you know, there are days. And you would see, you know, after you gave a kid a snack, you know, all of a sudden they can do their multiplication tables. It's vital. And it will save families money. It provides consistency. And our mission is to lift families and provide relief where we can as public servants.
All right, you picked the one that I take more issue of than the other two, Anne. So here we go.
Well, good.
But my question a week ago or so, when I saw the press release come out, was, wait a minute, what happened to the responsibility of parents to take care of their kids? Why, secondary question, why would we expect all Wisconsin taxpayers to share in buying lunches for and breakfasts for kids whose parents aren't financially disabled to do that? I get helping out the families that have low income and are struggling to figure out whether they send lunch to school with their kid or pay the heat bill. I'm totally on board with helping with that, as we currently do. But to just say blanket, every kid that comes in, whether you're from a family that makes $25,000 or $250,000, the taxpayers are going to pay for your lunches, I need a little more convincing.
Okay, well, let me work on that, and I have some thoughts for you. First of all, you know, it's not really my job as a legislator, really as a community member or somebody who cares. It's not my purview to judge that. So none of us really knows what goes on in a household until we live it, right? The other piece of that, Tim, is unlike, you know, I don't want to date you, you know, or make you older than I am, but, you know, back when we were kids, we didn't have social media. We didn't have those kinds of pressures that those sorts of things can bring. And so it was okay if kids accepted, you know, meals at the free and reduced rate. And they didn't think that they were going to wind up on somebody's social media feed of, you know, look at so-and-so who, you know, had to grab a meal today. There is so much shaming going on about, you know, accepting help because you need it, because you didn't get a meal, that this levels the playing field. This makes sure that every kid has that access. It takes the burden off of busy two-income families who are trying to keep it together and pay costs, you know, related to childcare, related to their work expenses, to their businesses, and so forth. So this is a way to lift that burden, get everybody on the same playing field, and making sure that kids have a consistent source of meals that they don't have to worry about because everybody is on the same ticket. It also gives us some economies of scale in terms of purchasing power and meal preparation. So now instead of, you know, 25 kids, we got a school full. Now we have more leverage in creating those meals that, as you referenced, we're going to be creating, you know, certainly for the population we knew about. But I guess I would push back, Tim, that the idea is not to let people feel judged or like they have to somehow be deserving. And as far as why people should invest in that, because the return on investment, when we invest in our kids, their education, their meals, their preparation, It beats the crud out of the stock market returns. I'll tell you that flat out. The numbers are there.
What do we know what the anticipated cost would be of converting to this, Ann?
The actual cost to the state? I don't know that I've seen a round number for that. I know that the savings per family are on or around about $1,800 a year, which is significant.
Yeah, it is, certainly. Obviously, it has to get paid for somewhere. And the other concern I have is even if this is the best of ideas, it's going to have to come from taxes of someplace, I'm assuming, in a world where already we're having so many school districts that are struggling to just pay for the bare essentials. I fear this might force districts to have to go to referendum now to add the lunch program stuff in.
Well, we are sitting on a $4+ billion surplus, right? And this is a teeny tiny fraction, again, small proactive investment that is going to pay in returns, because now we know we can keep kids in their seats and focused and provide a much better educational atmosphere for them, for their teachers, for their classmates. That is where it's going to come from for sure.
All right. Well, obviously, there'll be some work to do. And again, I ask you these questions because we have the ability to. You will never get to, unless something majorly changes at the state cabinet, you'll never get to have these discussions on the floor because they'll never get brought to the floor for debate.
It could be.
Which is one of the things that I think is the most egregious of the procedures that are going on right there in the state capitol is, you know, we should be able to present thoughts and ideas and have them brought to the floor. And if enough people believe that they're good, we vote on them. This idea that one party can hold all kinds of legislation hostage, I don't care who the party is, I just think is sort of despicable. And to my friends in the last half hour who were thinking that I was too Republican, that's a huge criticism of Robin Voss and the Republicans right now, that they won't bring this stuff to the floor. So,
yeah, and you and I have always enjoyed a very collegiate, respectful conversation about that exactly. And, you know, what my colleagues across the aisle are demonstrating is that they really aren't interested in serving the public. Because you're right, even if we disagree, and there's plenty of room for disagreement and conversation, you know, we owe it to every person in Wisconsin to have those conversations and to work out those details. Because I have always told you, and I still am, I am a worried optimist. And I do believe there is room for negotiation and conversation, in a bipartisan manner. My friend Tim Cullen reminds me all the time, and I'm sure is going to make his presence known from heaven as well. You start in the middle, and it's much easier for somebody to work with you when you're in the middle.
Indeed. Let me get to the commercial break here before we start another topic. But I want to also ask you about the other two pieces that were involved in this kind of trio of bills. A lot of people who do not get the homestead tax credit probably don't even understand what it is we're talking about because they've never qualified for it. So we can put a little definition on that when we come back. Ann Rowe, our 44th Assembly District Representative on the Minuteman Press guest line. We will be right back on WCLO.
We all need someone who is on our side. Some things must not wait, and the pledge short-lived or long is all that's needed.
About you, but my house feels empty after taking down Christmas. Hi, this is Jordan from K&W Greenery. A plant would sure liven things up. They even clean the air. Right now at K&W, all of our healthy green plants are 25% off. And don't worry about the black thumb you think you have. We'll make sure you get the right plant for you to be successful. Come take a nice warm stroll through a greenhouse and forget about winter for a while. KW Greenery, Highway 14, Janesville.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you ready for a new ride in the new year? Hi, this is Tim Thompson, sales manager at Rock County Honda in Janesville, and we'd love to help you with that new ride. I've got aggressive sale prices on all my new in-stock Honda models, and we're making deals. Odysseys, Ridgelines, Pilots, Passports, CRVs, HRVs, Civics, and Accords, all priced to move. If you want to see how eager we are to make a deal with you, stop in today and chat with one of my award-winning sales associates or get the conversation started now at rockcountyhonda.com.
I'm here with Ben from Cedar Crest in Janesville. Why should people consider a move to your community this year?
Our assisted living and memory care residents receive award-winning care at our beautiful campus on the Rock River.
Tell me about your winter promotion.
For a limited time, all new residents in our assisted living and memory care can save $1,500 per month for their first 3 months at Cedar Crest.
How can folks get more information about Cedar Crest?
You can schedule a tour at cedarcrestlife.com.
Seniors, did you know that long-term health care could cost you your entire life savings? Without proper planning, all the assets you've spent a lifetime building could be wiped out by a nursing home before you even realize it. Hi, I'm Scott Moon, founder of Elder Life Group, and your host of Elder Life Radio on WCLO.
And I'm attorney Douglas Lay, founder of Elder Advisors Law in Janesville. Have you heard that you have to pretty much spend all of your assets before you qualify for Medicaid? Have you heard that they can take your home, that they can take your farm? Well, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. We can help you protect your stuff. You don't have to go broke in a nursing home. You can protect your hard-earned assets. For more information, go to elderadvisorslaw.com or give us a call at 608-371-7207. That's Elder Advisors Law.
And be sure to tune in to Elder Life Radio this Saturday on WCLO.
His middle name is Sports.
You know, actually, it's Jeffrey.
Complete sports coverage with Josh Goldberg on Southern Wisconsin's Morning News. Twice an hour, 5 till 9. Weekdays on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
Our local assembly representative, Ann Rowe, 44th Assembly District in the state of Wisconsin, is on the Minuteman Press guest line and talking about some of the things that the Democrats have proposed right now that they would like to see. We just finished kind of looking at the potential free breakfast and lunch to all Wisconsin public school children. The next one, Ann, I want to talk about is the homestead tax credit for low-income renters and homeowners. This, again, is a much more targeted idea in that it's going to help those who, you know, are trying but just can't get there for a lot of different reasons to stay in a house, which we know from talking to all of our homeless agencies around here. You know, having that shelter in that one place to go where you can get ready for work or school and you is so important to kind of keeping them in the playing field, at least.
Yes. So the homestead credit, which has been around for quite some time, what we want to do is bring it up to speed, bring it up to 2025, and make sure it has caught up with inflation. So it does not represent any major changes to the program or to how people would qualify for that. It is, as you said, very much targeted towards lower income and those, as you said, who are doing the best they can to cover everything and just need that additional help. If you look at the package as a whole, Tim, and you think about high school, I think that's when I first heard about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This package, if you take it as a whole, is really getting at those bottom foundational pieces of that pyramid. If you recall that, you know, safety, health, Those things that you need to be productive students, people in the community, you know, everybody should be at that base level and have those needs covered. And we're going to see that our communities are lifted, and as a whole, we all move forward when we cover those essentials. So safety, shelter, food, health, you know, the drugs that you need to maintain your health, those are the foundational pieces.
So the Homestead Tax Credit is just that. It's a tax credit. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's lowering the amount of tax that somebody pays based on the low income that they might have. And I think for a lot of us, we can look at that and go, well, okay. And again, I could ask you how much it's going to cost, but it's a program that a lot of us can see, okay, I want to be a good neighbor. I want to do things to support those less fortunate than me. And that one maybe gets a little bit less of a look than some of the other things that are out there. The piece that tries to deal with prescription medications, that's always a tricky one because there's so many fingers in that pot.
Yes. But, you know, prescription drug prices are just out of reach. You know, I know from my own health history, and it is just absolutely stunning to me, the costs, you know, for drugs that have been around for 1,000 years and no patents, you know, pending or, you know, well beyond that. And yet still the prices are out of sight and there's no negotiating or bargaining ability. And again, we know that people are making terrible choices, to decide, you know, rent versus food versus their prescription drugs. And again, if we're not assisting people on a targeted basis with this initiative, we are limiting their potential in our communities. We are limiting their futures and their pathways. And, you know, the minute you do that, communities suffer. So, you know, as I've always said, I'm interested in doing the most good for the most people with what we have at hand. And this is something we can make a dent in and, quite frankly, has bipartisan support.
As part of the prescription drug legislation, is there anything in there, and I just recall this from a past session or two, is there anything in there regarding the whole pharmacy benefit manager interaction. So in other words, for people that don't know, and jump in here and correct me if I'm wrong, Ann, but I have health insurance through my company, and you may have it through the exchange system, you may have it through whatever, and that covers some drugs. And so if I go into my drugstore and I say I need a prescription for XYZ, they look it up, they look up my insurance, they tell me what the copay is for the drug that was prescribed under my insurance, and pretty much all of us leave it there. However, there is a secret that most people don't know, which is if you ask your pharmacist for either the price of the generic equivalent or what the retail is or something like that, many times it's actually lower cost to the system and sometimes to your copay. But they don't have to tell you that right now because of these pharmacy benefit managers. Who most people would be familiar with if you're working, they're the employee benefits company or the whatever that, you know, approves all your purchases for reimbursement for the. So that was a hang up well before any of your newest legislation here. Is that part of this or does that have to be dealt with separately?
You know, the short answer, Tim, I don't know exactly. What we are trying to do is make it a more streamlined process, both for, you know, the users, the patients themselves, as well as, you know, sorting out the myriad of hoops for the providers. And you have pointed to really a problem that we are seeing highlighted at the national level is use of those middle agents, and you know all the things that contribute to the crazy high expense of, you know, you look at something like insulin. Okay, it's, you know, been around forever.
Yeah.
We produce it ourselves. It's not, I mean, I couldn't produce it, but it is not rocket science at this point. It is not under patent. And why on earth should it be bankrupting people or causing people to think about whether or not they really need it? You know, if a prescriber has indicated that that's something you need, that's not something you fool around with. So we have work to do. This is a piece of the puzzle. Again, we're trying to work with our colleagues across the aisle in kind of snack bite sizes here. This is stuff we can't afford as a state. These are initiatives that will have an enormous return on investment for our communities and our people. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to serve everybody. And taking care of these, you know, foundational pieces to ease their everyday cost of living expenses.
Well, again, I think there's a lot to talk about in these three bills and others that, you know, will come up across.
Yes, there are.
And the fact that, you know, likely they will not get talked about amongst all of the legislators because of partisan politics is a bad thing. That, however, being said, we are living in the world we're in, and we got to operate in that world somehow.
Right.
The Republicans, I believe, snap reaction to something like this will be, we don't have the money for it. How would we pay for this?
Right.
And obviously these three things, to expand them, even, you know, homestead tax credit, just to get it back up to kind of match what, you know, rent is really reflecting these days and the price of housing is, are going to cost additional dollars. What would be your answer to that primary question?
How we pay for it somehow?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I would point to the surplus, but, you know, the surplus is going to go so far and it's not necessarily renewable. So we have to be very prudent and very strategic about how we use those particular funds. And I'm going to go back to, you know, proactive investment. So, you know, a common argument I hear is that, you know, we don't want to pay for that. We don't want to pay for that. We don't want to pay for that. Okay. Well, what are we paying right now as, you know, both in dollars and, you know, sort of, you know, community damages? What are we paying right now because people can't stay in their homes? What are we paying right now because people don't have access to the healthcare that they need to keep them active in their communities and in their jobs? So let's talk about the costs of that. And I will counter with the modest proactive investments. You know, now when people are on a stable path and they have those needs met, we as a community are not paying the enormous cost of trying to shelter our homeless and our disadvantaged neighbors. You know, so the return on investment is enormous. When you talk about feeding and educating kids K through 12, the payback is enormous.
I can appreciate.
And we're hearing it, you know.
Yeah.
We're hearing it from all sorts of trades. And I would also say, Tim, to your earlier point, as far as, you know, some of this may not see the daylight of the floor, certainly with only 20 or so days scheduled on the floor for next year, which is why I voted against the calendar for this biennium. Yeah, it's going to be tough to have those conversations. And what I'm asking the people who supported me, the people who are engaged and whatever side of the aisle they find themselves on in our district, put the pressure on all of us to get to the table to discuss these things. That pressure, you know, I'm good at nagging. I think I've established that. However, you know, I, you know, they need to hear from everybody and both sides of the aisle, because I'll tell you, Tim, many of these issues cross both ways on both sides of the aisle. And I know I have people in the district who believe in some of this stuff. We may not agree on everything, but I need everybody's help in raising a fuss and at least get legislators to the table to talk about it.
Well, that would be a big step forward.
Right?
There's no doubt about that. I appreciate your big picture. A lot of times that's one of the things that's a disconnect between legislators or city leaders or whatever and individual citizens is you got to be big picture people to a degree. But if I dial this back, ideas that, okay, well, you're talking about a minimal investment and a long-term gain. And even if I buy into that, I just got my property tax bill, Ann, and it's up. And I got the city telling me that it's going to go up. And I got these guys telling me it's going up. And I got the school district telling me that I got to pass this referendum and increase my own taxes and it's going up. And I can't take anymore. What's being looked at? What's being looked at from a solution standpoint? Are there ways to increase revenue to pay for stuff that we really might need that don't have to fall upon the property taxes or the income tax?
So I you know, now I'm not fully up to speed. So thank you for any forgiveness people want to extend to me. But we're peddling as fast as we possibly can. But I believe that municipalities, townships, need more tools in their toolbox. So, you know, the thing that has impressed me greatly throughout my time is, you know, observing and listening to town chairs, the township's leadership, the village leadership, city leadership. The people working fast and furiously on those respective boards and cities, they know their budget down to, you know, the cent, as you would expect them to. They also know how to stretch each and every dollar. When I listen to our director of public works and the things they do with road surfacing and how they can maximize products and tools that they have, you know, we have to trust these leaders to manage, because they've proven themselves over and over again. So giving them more tools, more local control over how they can raise funds and raise revenue streams without placing the burden on property owners is first and foremost in my mind. Now, do we have the magic solution? Not yet. But we're working on it. And I will tell you, Tim, there's a lot of appetite for bipartisan support and looking at and all of those options and tapping into the tremendous leaders we have right here in the city of Janesville, as well as our townships. Those are the people that need to be at the table because they manage those day-to-day budgets and they know exactly what would help them in terms of revenue. And in the case of Janesville, we need to fix the shared revenue formula. And that is, you know, every time I get a chance to see the governor, he's like, how's it going? And I'm like, how's shared revenue going, governor? Let's go. Come on, help me out here. So again, we don't have an immediate solution, but I hear you and I agree with you that we need to give municipalities and townships more tools in their toolbox so that they can continue the magnificent job they're doing trying to manage.
Well, I am a big advocate of local control, however that, you know, shakes out from the feds to the states to the counties and even to the municipalities within the counties. There was talk, it might have been a bill, and this precedes you, and so again, no harm, no foul if you don't remember. but I always like a solution that comes with the voices of the people being impacted as part of it.
Yes.
And there was an opportunity advanced somewhere that I think got shot down in the legislature for cities, but only of certain size, to increase their local sales taxes as a way to gain some additional revenue. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that'd play amongst, I don't claim to know everybody's state of mind, but the idea being that it would have to pass by a referendum, and a half a percent, you know, at $10, it's an extra, you know, nickel.
Right.
It seems manageable for most people.
Yeah.
Is there any talk of that either being resurrected or being included as part of the budget or anything like that that you're aware of?
Not as of late in the last month or so. I haven't. I will tell you that if I step away from my desk for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, I literally have 45 emails.
I can sympathize with that.
There is a complete deluge of good information. So I've not seen substantive talk of that. I have seen what we were discussing earlier is, you know, let's lay out all our options on the table. Let's get the people, you know, at the table that we need to have to view it from all directions, the pros and cons and everything in between, and see what we can do to expand our toolbox and think creatively. I think one of the things I'm most excited about, you know, and obviously this is exciting if you're a Democrat, but, you know, we have 23 new Democrats. We have, I think, 8 new Republicans in the Assembly. Am I right?
That's about right. Yep.
Maybe somewhere in there, right? And that is amazing, you know, because new ideas, strong people, you know, who really bring their communities to the forefront. And, you know, let's take a look at everything. Just because we've always done it this way doesn't necessarily, that's a great idea, right? And I hope to infuse that spirit and that willingness to take a look, you know, from both sides. Again, working from the middle and seeing what are some areas where we can begin a conversation?
All right. Representative Ann Rowe on the Minuteman Press guest line with us. If you want to text in a question, you can do that at 608-752-4000. Ann, I know you're a big advocate for education, and
yes,
we know that there are some big challenges facing our state education system. I want to bounce a few ideas off of you and see if you think they're worthy to run up the flagpole with people in Madison when we come back after a short break on your talk show on WCLO.
I'm here with Ben from Cedar Crest in Janesville. Why should people consider a move to your community this year?
Our assisted living and memory care residents receive award-winning care at our beautiful campus on the Rock River.
Tell me about your winter promotion.
For a limited time, all new residents in our assisted living and memory care can save $1,500 per month for their first 3 months at Cedar Crest.
How can folks get more information about Cedar Crest?
You can schedule a tour at cedarcrestlife.com.
If you're in the mood for great food, giddy up to Whiskey Ranch in Janesville and Delavan. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary, and as a thank you to their loyal customers, they now have a $10 lunch special. Monday through Friday from 11 to 3, get a sandwich, soda, and side for only $10. With several sandwiches to choose from, dining only. For the best of the best, round up your gang and head to the award-winning Whiskey Ranch, Main Street, downtown Janesville, or West Highway 11, Delavan.
Hy-Vee in Janesville is proud to announce the Hy-Vee High School Team of the Month, the Evansville Blue Devils Wrestling Team. Led by head coach Kent Weiler, the Blue Devils are 10-time defending Rock Valley Conference champs, currently ranked third in the state in D2. They've won the Grappler Grove and Kramer Brown tournaments this season and are led by 3-time defending state champion Danny Heiser. Hy-Vee is proud to support high school athletics and will select a high school team of the month all season long. Congratulations to Evansville wrestlers on being named the Hy-Vee High School Team of the Month.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. paints.
Get a paint that combines durability with gorgeous color. Dutch Boys Forever Interior Paint and Primer in One offers powerhouse protection with its stain-blocking, odor-reducing technology. And with Dutch Boys Easy Opening, Smooth Pouring Container, transforming your home has never been easier. View our entire selection of Dutch Boy paint, plus great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, it's Shelton from Hester Toyota. What's your New Year's resolution?
I resolved to save money.
Save on gas with the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
I resolved to spend more time with family.
Pile into a Sienna or Grand Highlander with plenty of elbow room.
I resolved to have more fun.
The new Tacoma is literally built for off-road fun. Start your year off fresh with that new car smell. Come see us at Hester Toyota. No games, no gimmicks, no kidding.
Your friends at Hester Toyota.
With no warning whatsoever, I experienced a heart attack. I had the so-called Widowmaker, where my heart completely shut down. The people at Mercy Health got me through that experience safely, completely. They knew what to do, and they knew how to do it, and in such a way that I was able to survive without consequence.
We're advancing medicine with one goal in mind, to provide the best heart and vascular care to get you back to enjoying life. Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
This portion of your talk show is brought to you by Elder Advisors Law. For questions about estate planning, asset protection, and more, sign up for an educational workshop at elderadvisorslaw.com.
Sure, he can't be bought.
Welcome back to your talk show on this Tuesday morning. Our 44th Assembly District Representative Ann Rowe on the Minuteman Press guest line with us this morning. Talking about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of work to do at the Capitol, Ann, and one of the least of which will begin to ramp up again here as we head toward the April elections, and that's a couple of referendums in our area. And that always gets the discussion going about, you know, how long are we going to let this wholly dysfunctional system go until we fix something? Again, I'm not necessarily against a referendum or for a referendum. I do like the fact that voters get a voice. Unfortunately, like a lot of things with elections, there's a lot of moving pieces in what the district is actually going to need the financing for, that most people that are voting in the referendum don't necessarily have the time to research. So it's a double-edged sword, I think, is how I would put it as far as referendums go. So what about education funding? This idea that it takes whatever the number is these days, $8,900 or whatever, to educate a student in a budget year is... I don't know. It's fraught with problems. I'm assuming that some brilliant person somewhere at one point said, well, the state of Wisconsin spends $28 million on, or whatever it is, and they divided that by the number of students in public schools and said that's what it costs. Well, clearly, depending on the size of your district and how many buses you have to run and, you know, whether you're close to the pencil manufacturer or not, I mean, there's all kinds of things that would change that for individual districts. I've said I think we need to blow up the whole model and start to look at this as what tools do districts need to adequately educate their kids, and whatever it costs in that district, it costs. I know that will not be popular with a lot of people out there, but I don't know how you can strive to get an outcome based on a uniform test score for the city of Beloit and the city of Madison and the city of Milwaukee and Green Bay and Hayward, and expect that to come out right when everybody has the same dollar amount, even though that same dollar amount might not have the same purchasing power in each of those districts.
Wow. That's a lot to unpack.
Tim. It is.
And it is truly, you know, a very serious issue, a serious question, and a serious challenge. So what I piece out of your thoughts is one thing, and that goes back to what we were talking about for cities and townships, and that's back to local control. And I don't have any problem with examining how dollars are spent and taking a look for efficiencies and or improvements, right? I mean, that has to be part of our process, part of our learning curve, as far as how do we best deliver on what is state statute, and that is to educate every child wherever they find themselves on that learning curve. So if that is our primary directive, and it is, right?
Yep.
What's it going to take to make sure, and what I personally believe, make sure that each and every one of our students has the options and choices they need to be competitive upon completion of that 12th grade. So whatever pathway they are interested in, you know, military service, trades, college, you know, apprenticeships, some combination of all of the above, and combinations that we haven't even dreamed of because we don't know those careers coming down the line, right?
Right.
So what's it going to take to make sure that each and every student coming out of that system, wherever they are, up north, Beloit, Janesville, you know, Green Bay, wherever they happen to be, what's it going to take to make sure that they are, again, the toolbox analogy, that they have all the tools they need to pursue whichever path best fits them? We know that when students make a fit, when adults make a fit in a job, we ultimately spend less on transitions. We have a better, stronger investment, and we get a better return as far as their productivity, their interest, their engagement. You know, it's a win-win, right? And it sounds easy when you talk about it like that, but educating a student is complex business. Just what we were talking about, making sure that we're leveling the playing field as far as nutrition and health, making sure that everybody has a good chance in that classroom, making sure that teachers have the tools they need to make sure that kids are getting competitive skills. And I will argue, Tim, that you know, some of the testing that we pursue to try to get some baseline readings about performance and how we're doing in our classrooms are incredibly necessary. And those strong skills, you know, if we treat every kid the same as far as we're going to give you the best reading skills, the best language skills, the best math skills you can possibly take and accomplish, then I can plug them in anywhere they want to go after high school.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Right.
Let me take the partisan part out of this comment, but it's a good question. Where do we stand on the idea of, this would be specific to the voucher program, I guess, but if you're a parent in a school district that you don't think has the right tools, is not using them right, is now, and you choose to put your child in a parochial school or some other independent private school, should you be paying the full rate on that to get the best income for your child? Or who are we going to, I guess maybe the question is, who are we going to let be the final decider of what the best income for my child is?
The best income or the best? So I do not believe in funding the voucher system. I just don't. It is not clear where those tax dollars go. It is not held to the same standards or levels of accountability. It again creates a very uneven playing field that now, as you know, I have to fund somebody's choice to take them out of the public school system. I don't agree with that. I just don't. So part of it is, you know, having been a college teacher for over 25 years and been an active volunteer in our kids' classrooms and other kids' classrooms, I believe in public education, and I believe in making it competitive and accessible to every kid that we meet.
Well, and I do think that, you know, the there's only so many dollars to go around. And like I say, the idea, I want parents to be involved in their children's education and deciding what's best for their kids. That, in my book, is kind of the first step of the whole discussion. However, that being said, the voucher system is based on the same broken system that we have with X number of dollars for kids. And if you start to say, well, okay, it doesn't matter, we'll take that $8,000, $10,000, whatever the number is, and we'll move it from this public school into this private school, that further messes with that goofy per student formula. And I would concur that if we're going to have public funding of private schools, so to speak, that they must be held to the same criteria that right. state schools are. That's where I don't have any problem with choice schools, except for that, well, wait a minute, you can't take tax dollars and then make right. them fungible, so to speak, in that regard. That just doesn't seem right. to do a good job. Well, it's a right. huge, it's a huge ask out there, for the legislature. Yeah, it is. And, I do hope I share your optimism a little bit here with a crop of new Republicans and new Democrats that yeah. aren't so steeped in the partisan divide, maybe we can make a little progress here.
I sure hope so. And like I said, you know, I will rely on our district and our communities to keep me informed, and I will serve everyone to the best of my ability with your help.
All right. Well, you certainly have a forum here whenever you desire. I know what it's like to give up an hour and watch the emails pile up, Ann. So thank you for the time this morning, and we'll have you back quite regularly here on the program.
My pleasure. I look forward to joining you again.
All right. Take care. That's Ann Rowe, our 44th Assembly District Representative. And Wade Williams is on his way here with a big briefcase full of facts regarding presidential executive orders. That's what we're going to talk about with Wade on Focus on the Facts after these important messages and a news update from CBS right here on your talk show on News Radio WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
E&D Waterworks, in business almost 70 years, and some people still don't know everything that we do. Water softeners, iron filters, reverse osmosis drinking water systems, electric water heaters, gas water heaters, power vent, tankless heaters. Plus, we will deliver your water softener salt, your bottled water, and service it all. More info at edwaterworks.com or call 752-4718. E&D Waterworks. If water runs to it or through it, we do it.
The old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, hit home for Nina Gookin-Peterson, a longtime client with Uncommon Sense Investing.
What impressed me about Uncommon Sense is they care about you. They ask you when things are rough out there. They ask you questions. They send you information. They listen to me, you know, and that's what I like about them. So I feel very confident with them. There's nothing you can't talk to them about.
So I'm sure you call John or Sheena from time to time. What kind of response time do you get when you reach out to them?
Oh, immediately. Yeah. Either phone call or email or whatever, but they're very good. Someone always contacts me if I have a question, and it's great to be able to talk to them because I get my answers right away.
Sheena and her team are easy to find at uncommonsenseinvesting.com. This message paid for by Uncommon Sense Investing, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. The persons providing this testimonial are clients of Uncommon Sense Investing and are not being compensated for sharing their opinion or experience with the firm. Their comments may not be representative of any other person's experience with the firm.
Are you ready to be a part of something bigger? Are you ready to be a part of an award-winning team? Join a team that's transforming healthcare right here in our community. Beloit Health System is proud to be the region's leader in quality and safety, recognized with an A rating from LeapFrog, the only health system in southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois to achieve this honor. Beloit Health System is on the lookout for passionate individuals to join their dedicated family. Whether you're a nurse, doctor, technician, or serve in vital support roles, there is a place for you at Beloit Health System. Offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefits, and plenty of opportunities for professional growth and development. Be a part of a growing team that is transforming healthcare right here in our community. Let's come together and make a difference at Beloit Health System. Ready to take the next step? Apply today at BeloitHealthSystem.org and click on the Careers tab.
Beloit Health System, committed to our community, dedicated to your health.
I don't know about you, but my house feels empty after taking down Christmas. Hi, this is Jordan from K&W Greenery. A plant would sure liven things up. They even clean the air. Right now at K&W, all of our healthy green plants are 25% off. And don't worry about the black thumb you think you have. We'll make sure you get the right plant for you to be successful. Come take a nice warm stroll through a greenhouse and forget about winter for a while. K&W Greenery, Highway 14, Janesville.
50-50 Fridays.
This Friday, get $50 in gift certificates to the Junction Pub in Milton for only $25. Speaking of Fridays, get to the Junction Pub for their amazing Friday fish fry. Two or three-piece battered cod, six jumbo shrimp, breaded bluegill, or a fried fish sandwich. All fish fry dinners are served with their creamy coleslaw, roll, lemon wedge, tartar sauce, and your choice of four different potato options. And after 5 p.m. for dinner, enjoy baked cod and battered walleye. If you're more into turf than surf, the Junction Pub has an incredible selection of burgers, wraps, homemade soups, and sandwiches. And the prime rib sandwich is a must try. Don't forget to sample one of their 13 different appetizers. Junction Pub, where Milton gets together and celebrates. Merchant Row, Milton. Check out their Facebook page for specials and upcoming events. Get $50 in gift certificates to Junction Pub in Milton for only $25 with 50-50 Fridays from WCLO.com.